At the outset, grateful thanks to Craig DeVos, who was my New Testament tutor, lecturer back in the day at U of T. I've drawn considerably on his material for today. Apart from the occasional nativity set, I found little evidence this Advent of the Christmas story amongst the Christmas paraphernalia for sale, even more so than usual. The original Christmas story seems to be disappearing, if not lost altogether to some. I know the message of Christmas seems to be increasingly subjected to rationalisation and reductionism. The Christmas announcement of great joy is reduced to tinsel and tree lights, the wearing of silly hats, and not even COVID could reduce the consumption of food and alcohol to excess. The Christmas announcement of goodwill to all is occasionally sending cards to people we haven't been in touch with since Christmas. Mostly it's a generic email or post on social media, perhaps making an annual donation to the Christmas bowl or putting a gift for charity under a wishing tree. The Christmas announcement of peace is reduced to trying to be nice to people we don't like or pretending that we actually get along with our families. And the Christmas announcement of joy, goodwill, and peace is reduced to a temporary sentimentality that has no bearing on how we live the rest of the year. So often today, the Christmas story and the real meaning and purpose of Christmas are nowhere to be seen. Yet here we are today, marking the ninth day of Christmas as we await the celebration of the arrival of the Magi next Thursday on the Feast of the Epiphany. Although there's no continuation of the Christmas stories in Matthew and Luke, no story of the growing baby Jesus, there's words, quite a few words, telling us of the Word of God. John's poetically pared down version of Jesus' origin offers us something quite different. Stripped of all narrative detail and starkly symbolic, the focus in this account is not on us, but on God, and on what this means about and for God. There's a saying, it's all Greek to me, and as we seek to understand this passage from John's Gospel, it's worthwhile looking at its original language, Greek. In our reading today, John speaks of the word, a poor translation, really, of a Greek term which was used by ancient philosophers to speak of the consciousness, the logic, the rationality of God. In a sense, the personification of God. Yet we're left with something very simple but increasingly incredibly profound. As the author of John's Gospel puts it, the Word became flesh and lived among us. In other words, in the birth of Jesus, God came among us. God became one of us. In the birth of Jesus, God didn't just remain a theory or an abstraction. In the birth of Jesus, God became real. He's not describing it as if God were wrapped in flesh, like cheap Christmas wrapping paper covering, hiding the really important thing inside. No, God became flesh. God became human, intrinsically, integrally, inherently. There's no sense of pretense or put on here. God became human, fully human. God lived and breathed. God experienced what it is to be human. And of course, a fundamental part of what it means to be human is to grow, to learn, and to change. In other words, the author claims that God is not impassive or immutable. God didn't remain outside and other. God became one of us. God was born into the brokenness of our world. God grew through and into the pain of human existence. God shared our brokenness and our pain. God embraced it. God experienced the brokenness of our world and the mess and pain of human existence fully from the inside. Rather than a God who intervenes from the outside to fix it all for us, God was born into it. God was born as part of it in order to deal with it from within. And the God who became flesh didn't deal with it by snapping God's fingers or waving a magic wand or simply suddenly miraculously making it all right. Rather, God dealt with it by being fully and completely human, by living and loving, offering healing and hope, by getting alongside ordinary people and understanding them empathically, by embracing them in their fear and frustration, by confronting and challenging their cruelty and ugliness, and refusing to conform to it or give in to it, by being willing to suffer and die in order to show us another way, a different way, a more authentic way to be human together. The author of John's Gospel confronts us with a new perspective of God, a God who's not afraid to become vulnerable and weak, rather than a God who's all-powerful, a God who's not afraid to take a gamble, rather than a God who's fickle and who pulls the strings like a cosmic puppeteer, a God who's willing to experience what we do, rather than a God who simply stands at a distance, shaking a finger and going tut-tut, or zapping us with lightning bolts when we do something wrong. A God who's not afraid to do the unexpected and the unpredictable. In the end, when we strip away all the tradition and myth and embellishment, religious and secular, that's what Christmas is about. It's about the God who dared to come to us, to become one of us, to become concrete and real, to learn what it is to experience life from our side, but so that we might also learn what God is actually like and what it might mean for us to live as those whom God loves. In the end, it's as simple and profound as that. How are you going to live as one loved by God in 2022?